Hello everyone, this is Adam from Zelda Working Title Podcast. I hope you are all doing well. I would like to take this time and inform you that this podcast contains some suggestive material and situations. Suggestive material includes moments in which we use words such as and or. Please be aware that such moments may be present in this podcast. Thusly, listener discretion is advised. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, have a fan-fantastic day and enjoy the podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Zelda Working Title Podcast. That was Alex playing for us.
Shut up. Don't tell him.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Oh,
beautiful.
Okay. It wasn't Alex.
No.
It was just some internet entity playing Mario for us.
It's God.
So, yeah, this is episode 14, and we've only got three of us today, Alex and Matt and myself.
Hey.
So, let's just jump right onto it. What have you guys been playing? Alex.
I've been playing Ghostbusters
for Wii, I assume.
For the Wii. And Ikaruga for the Wii.
For the GameCube
on the Wii, yeah. I actually spent another $75 on a new copy because I couldn't find my old copy.
Wait, 75?
For the brand new one.
Oh my god.
Why don't you just, isn't that out on Xbox Live? Just buy an Xbox and download.
Yeah. I was thinking about it.
You're halfway there.
I know. I would really get the Xbox. I would really get the 360 for Castle Crashers and that, and I would probably be happy.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Actually, there are a lot of people who fixed Red Rings. Like I said, announcing to listeners, I got my Red Ring fixed for $30.
Woohoo!
From a guy that lives right down the street. And there are a lot of people who do that now. But then there are also a lot of people who, when their console Red Rings outside of warranty, will sell it on eBay or Craigslist because they don't want to pay for it to get fixed.
Hmm.
So you could probably get a cheap Xbox off Craigslist or Facebook. No, not on Facebook.
Yeah.
Craigslist or eBay, and they say it's Red Ringed, and then take it to one of those guys who does it for $30 or $40, and then you have like a $100 Xbox 360 or something.
It's not bad. It's
cheating the system.
It's working the system. How many people are able to fix it, though?
Yeah. I mean, whoever knows how.
I looked on Craigslist. All you have to do is make sure. Like, I bet if you asked around, somebody you know will know a person. Because now there's a lot of people who do it, because it's actually a simple fix. You just have to have the right equipment.
Right, and I'm sure there are instructions online as well.
Yeah, but I mean, if you don't know how to do it, I wouldn't suggest trying to open your Xbox.
Well, I mean, if you're going to get rid of it anyways, why not try it?
Because then you should just try to sell it so that somebody can go get it fixed by someone who knows what they're doing.
Yeah, whatever.
No.
And that way you're helping your fellow man.
Perhaps. Alex, how is Ghostbusters?
It's actually surprisingly really good.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, the game's, so they got all the original voice actors back. They have the four original Ghostbusters, so they have, Harold Ramis, Bill Murray.
Slimer.
They got the original four Ghostbusters. I can't remember all their names. Dan Aykroyd, I can't remember the black guy's name. Because he's the black guy.
Oh, Denzel Washington.
But they also have the lady that played Janine, the secretary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Annie Potts, she's back.
Oh, wow.
Remember, if you remember, what's the guy? Walter Peck, the EPA guy in the first Ghostbusters. They got him back to do the voice.
So basically they got everybody
back. They pretty much got everybody back except the mayor. And they got Bill Murray's brother doing the mayor.
That's cool.
And they didn't get Rick Moranis.
No, they couldn't get Rick Moranis. Rick Moranis technically is retired.
Well, do you know the story behind that?
I know his wife died, and then...
Why don't you enlighten us?
Well, no, he was, like, really good friends with John Candy, and then John Candy died, and then his wife died, like, a couple months later, like, a year later. And so, then he kept on acting for, like, a year or two after that, and then he just stopped, because he had to raise his kids by himself, and he couldn't do that well.
He does some smaller projects now. I know he's in a country band in Canada, stuff like that.
Yeah, and he does he does voice acting occasionally.
Yeah, but I think his major thing is taking care of his kids, which is, you know, it's a great dedication for the guy. But and man, that guy was funny as hell.
And I'm sure bringing him back to a time when people he loved was still alive is probably kind of hurtful.
But yeah,
because you know. That just reminds him, because that movie was probably a couple of years before that.
Well,
anyway,
the game...
Rick Moranis, the sad story.
Yeah.
But the game is great. The game is amazing.
That's good.
So...
Okay. Well, does his wife die in the game?
Oh my god.
Is that a bonus? Is it like a side story?
There's a lot of...
It's an Easter egg.
Yeah, it's an Easter egg. There's a lot of small Easter eggs there. There's a lot of small stuff like details. So if you go into the basement... I think the firehouse is pretty much... the design of the firehouse in real life. And if you go in the basement, you could find the container.
Wait. They designed the firehouse in real life? What does that mean?
No, so the real firehouse that they actually have? The firehouse that the building, where their base of operations is.
Yes.
So they designed it in the game to look like exactly like how it is in the movie.
Why wouldn't they?
I figured that they would add extra layers to it, but it doesn't seem like they did.
All right.
But if you go into the basement, you could see like the ghost containment unit, and there's actually a portrait of Viggo from Ghostbusters 2, and he actually does say he has some lines. If you walk up to it, he does say stuff to you.
That's cool.
That's pretty cute.
All right, and so, Matt, you haven't been playing anything.
Yeah, because like I said, I just got my Xbox fixed today,
yeah.
So I just got it back. I played Beatles Rock Band today.
All right, well, good.
My family all loved it, introduced it to them. My little brother got really mad. He's 5 years old, or almost 5 years old, and he wanted to play drums. And then he, of course, doesn't know how. He doesn't have the motor skills to play drums and look at it and try to figure it out at the same time.
Can he reach the pedal?
And so... Yeah, if he stands up.
You can adjust.
But anyways, so he's like, I can't hear the drums. And I'm like, well, that's because you're not doing it right. He's like, well, then let me play guitar. And then he can't do guitar either. He's like, I can't hear my guitar. And I'm like, well, do you want to sing? He's like, okay. And then he tries to sing it. He's like, I don't know any of these songs. Let me play drums again. And I'm like, Adam, you just said the drums didn't work.
Wait, his name is like, Adam?
Yeah.
Am I your brother?
Yes.
Oh my
god.
It
was you. And then it turns out it was you. Twist ending.
Oh my god.
M. Night Shyamalan.
My mind was just
blown. You tried to open a door. You couldn't open the door. And then you're like, oh crap, I'm Matt's brother, aren't I? No, but now he asked me if Killer Queen is in it, because that's his favorite song. And it's hard to explain to kids that games aren't magic, because it looks that way.
Well, sometimes they are.
Yeah, but Killer Queen is not in it. But Killer Queen is coming to Rock Band on October 20th.
Cool.
By Queen. Killer Queen by Queen.
All right.
It's a Queen song.
Let's see. I've played some Halo ODST. I got Mirror's Edge.
Oh, you know what? I played at Halo ODST at my friend's house. Can I give a quick review? I only played Firefight mode, but Firefight mode is a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is.
The overlay thing, when you press X, it overlays...
It's basically night vision, so you have
night vision, it outlines everything, and it kind of looks like gives it a kind of a cel shady look, so that you can see things better.
Yeah,
and not just in nighttime, like you can see your targets better.
Right,
it's really awesome.
Buildings are outlined, or like everything's outlined in a different color. So like enemies are red, like allies are green, and then obstacles and buildings and stuff are like yellow.
Yeah, and it works really well. There's no dual wielding because you're not Master Chief, which is a little weird at first. It's difficult with two people.
Yeah,
it's,
it is.
It's a lot easier with four people. Mm-hmm. But, it still has a good difficulty. But my question is, I thought the skulls were supposed to be random. Like, which skulls turn on?
You can choose which ones to turn on. Okay, never mind. No, they... Are they random? I don't know. I've never really paid attention.
I thought I had read that they were random, but they're not. They always turn on in the same order.
Okay.
At least for me, unless I was randomly getting it in the same order every time.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never paid attention to whether it's random or not.
But I had a lot of fun with it. I don't know if it's worth $60 because it seems like that's all you're paying for, really.
Yeah. Well, my friend said he enjoyed the campaign more than he enjoyed the other three campaigns, and he spent a lot longer on it than I did, maybe like 10 hours. It took him like 2 weeks playing, 2 weeks to finish it.
It only took my friend like, he beat it on every difficulty in like 2 days.
Yeah, I mean, that my friend and I, we just finished like co-op Legendary, and we did it in about 3 hours. So
yeah, well, I mean, that's true. I guess that's true about Halo 3 also, but the thing with Halo 3 is it had a more robust multiplayer mode.
Yeah, definitely.
Than just Firefight.
Definitely.
So with Halo 3, even if you were just playing for multiplayer, you got a lot more of it. Not that Firefight's not great, but it's
but
not.
But $60 is a lot for what you're getting.
Yeah, unless you don't have Halo 3, then by all means, go buy Halo ODST.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Yeah, okay. So I got Mirror's Edge at Toys R Us with my $20 gift card that I got for buying ODST at Toys R Us. So that's a lot of fun because I love Mirror's Edge. And then I've been playing some Brawl.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm. Why do you even have to say that? We get it. You perpetually are playing Brawl.
Well, sometimes I don't.
You should actually just say when you don't play Brawl.
From now on.
When you sleep.
From now on, I'll tell you guys when
maybe
I don't
you should have a disclaimer in the beginning of the show.
We already have too much stuff at the beginning of the show.
No, just a...
I think...
In the part intro. Of the intro, yeah. And finally, I am not playing Brawl this week.
Okay. I'll work on it. We'll see what we can
there
do.
There
we
go.
So, what do you guys think about naming our segments?
I don't think about it a lot.
Alright, well, I'm going to name this segment. And then, This is really the only one... aside from Laura's sexy time that we sadly don't have again because Laura's still without internet. But anyways, I'm going to name this part, what was it? It's like Adam's News Hour, I believe is what I wanted to call it.
We're doing it for an hour?
Yes.
Oh my god.
Actually, it's not going to be an hour this time because I've been busy this week, so I haven't kept up with a lot of news.
We could get my brother Adam in here to tell us some news about Power Rangers. He could talk about Power Rangers for like 10 years.
No, I refuse to listen to anything about Power Rangers after it's from In Space. Because after that, Power Rangers should have ended. They killed Zordon and got rid of all of the evil in the universe, and they still kept going with the series somehow.
If they got rid of all...
Tell that to my brother.
It's
my
complete,
brother's life is Power Rangers.
Complete blasphemy, and I don't even understand.
How did they get rid of all the evil in the universe and yet still have stuff to fight? Do they have to fight
the
good?
Right, exactly. That's the point. I don't understand.
Well, yeah. Now they just go beat up citizens. And walking on the street.
You! Walking on the grass!
Well, okay. You want to know something that's going to blow your mind, Alex? They became the evil in the universe.
My god. Oh my god. That is so fucking deep.
Do they fight themselves?
Yeah. It's
and
just
also,
them kicking.
Also, what really pisses me off is that they keep recycling ideas. Like, they've had another set of dinosaur zords. They've had, like, cars. They've had
well, what
ninjas.
Else can you go with?
I don't,
what else can you
what
do?
Are the
I
mobile,
don't know. Come up with something else.
Like mythical creatures.
Yeah, I mean,
they
you
had,
have animals and cars and motorcycles, and that's all the things that move in the world.
Oh, but come on. It's just... okay.
Magic carpets.
Well, I mean,
they
could
Power
start,
magic
they could
carpets,
start going,
I guess,
like,
pretty cool.
Into species. Like, different types of
like
cats.
Everyone, yeah, everyone rides a different family of
yeah,
slugs.
Yeah, just, and just keep going from there. I mean, a different breed of crabs.
No. And when they form the Megazord, it's a giant enemy crab.
It's a giant.
And you have to hit its weak spot. Damage.
No, shut up.
Okay. So anyway, Adam's News Hour. New gaming releases. Kingdom Hearts. Oh, I learned how to say this, by the way. It's Kingdom Hearts 358 Days Over 2. That's the proper way to say it.
What?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, so that came out for DS. My Sims Agent came out for Wii and DS. Ninja Gaiden Sigma 2.
Wait, My Sims...
What?
Whoa, something just exploded. Somebody's setting up fireworks near my house or something, because I keep hearing it keeps rattling my windows.
Maybe somebody's committing mass suicides, or murders, and suicides.
That makes it really
That's great. Yeah. That's great.
Ninja Gaiden Sigma 2 for PS3, Dead Space Extraction for Wii, Pixel Junk Monsters Deluxe for PSP, Fallout 3 Operation Anchorage, Fallout 3 The Pit, Fallout 3 Mothership Zeta, Fallout 3 Point Lookout, all came out for PS3, Wii Fit Plus came out for Wii, Final Fantasy came out for Virtual Console, Lucidity came out on PC and 360, BioShock came out on Mac, Brutal Legend Demo came out for 360, and I loved it, so you should play it. And PSP Go came out.
Hasn't gotten really good reviews.
Yeah.
Everyone hates the PSP Go.
I know.
So it's turning into the... It's quickly turning into the next N-Gage, it seems like.
Whoa. Some of us still use our N-Gages, buddy. I love having to take the battery out to put a game cartridge in. If I'm not inconvenienced... What if somebody was calling you? What if you were waiting, like you were waiting, and your wife was pregnant, and you're waiting for her to call, to if her water broke, but then you wanted to play a game on your N-Gage to pass the time, and then you took out the battery of your phone to put the game in, and you totally missed her call, and then you ended up missing your first child being born.
That's heaven, isn't it?
That is what the N-Gage does to families. It breaks them apart.
I thought that's the whole point, to keep you into the game by getting you away from your families.
It's the ultimate form of escapism where
pretty
it
much
cuts off all contact from the real world.
It's the final level of getting away from reality for the game world.
Let's...
Alright, so... Anywho... Yeah, the upcoming games haven't changed since last time, but I'll go ahead and read them off anyways. October 12th, Pokemon Mystery Dungeon Explorers of the Sky is coming out for DS. October 13th, Brutal Legend for 360 and PS3. Fallout Game of the Year Edition for 360, PS3, and PC. Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Winter Games for Wii and DS. Magna Carta 2 for 360, A Boy and His Blob for Wii, Uncharted 2 Among Thieves for PS3, and Lego Star Wars The Complete Saga for PC. October 20th, you've got GTA Chinatown Wars for PSP. October 27th, Tekken 6 for 360 and PS3, Drawn to Life The Next Chapter for Wii and DS, World of Zoo for Wii, DS, and PC.
Wait, is Drawn to Life The Next Chapter made by the same people who made the original one? Who also made Scribblenauts?
I think so.
Because I had the original Drawn to Life, and it was okay.
Yeah. That's what I heard.
I wonder how the Wii version is going to work. I wonder if it's going to be good.
I don't know. DJ Hero for 360, DDR for Wii, Pets Dolphins Encounters for DS, Pets Dogs Family, Pets Hamsters Bunch, and Pets Saddle Club for PSP. And on October 29th, GTA Ballad of Gay Tony and GTA Episodes from Liberty City on 360.
I'm surprised that Pet Saddle Club is not Saddles Club. I mean, every other title has a Z in it.
It should be Zaddle Club.
Okay, something's going wrong with this email because I cannot get in. So, Matt, you're going to have to read the emails later.
There's no emails.
Oh, okay. Well, fine. That works perfectly.
Oh, well, spoiler alert, and also sad spoiler alert, nobody emailed us.
Well, I mean, that one guy did.
Yeah, but that's not worth reading.
We'll talk about that later. And then I just wanted to mention, look for Boy and His Blob, Lucidity came out, Secret World, Resident Evil Dark Side Chronicles, and Heavy Rain. those are all games that look to be very good.
I don't believe that.
Well, you don't
have
to.
Heavy Rain looks like crap to me.
Heavy Rain.
Also, why is there a Magna Carta 2? Was there really a Magna Carta 1?
Well, yeah, the one that they wrote in
England. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, just making
this
sure.
This is the sequel to that.
Right,
it's a really boring
historical
game.
Was it King John, right? Was that who it was?
Yeah, it's a really long... It's basically just like Magna Carta. It's like an outline of laws for...
Oh,
England.
So to put away the...
It's like a new updated
to put away
one.
The power from the monarchy and give it unto the people, essentially? Mm-hmm. It's just an extension of that?
So now you get a 2.0.
So it's Magna Carta 2, now, Bill of Rights?
Yeah, you open it up
it's
and
the addendum.
You put the CD in, it's just a text file.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And you read
Thanks
it.
For clarifying that.
All right,
and
gaming
news. You use your imagination to imagine that world, that England, with the new rules. And you can draw a picture of it or something. I'm just saying,
it sounds amazing.
It's a good game. Yeah, it's a good game.
Gaming news. Nintendo is making an animated... Well, Nintendo's not making it, but they are making a Professor Layton movie called Professor Layton and the Eternal Diva. As of now, it's only in Japan. Red Steel 2 looks like it's going to have amazing control with the Wii Motion Plus. There's a video you can look at on the Red Steel website. You should do that because it looks very good. New Super Mario Bros. Wii is priced and dated for Japan. It's coming out December 3rd for 5,800 yen, which is the equivalent of $66. There is a new Wiimote peripheral. It's basically two dumbbells. They weigh 2 pounds each. And the good news is, they don't mess with the IR sensor. So you can have weights with your Wiimote while you play.
What's the bad news? That it's a really stupid idea?
Why don't you just strap a bucket of
sand? Because they want you to pay $20 for it.
So wait, so they weigh 2 pounds each?
Yeah.
And so if you combine them, that's 4 pounds, right?
I believe so.
4 pounds. Look it up on MySpace Music, one of the greatest rappers of our generation. Have you guys ever listened to Four
no.
Pounds?
No.
Well, you should.
Okay.
We'll
look it up on iTunes.
4 pounds, and the pounds is with a Z.
Oh, okay.
I'm not kidding. Go look it up. He's a great... He's a young Mexican boy from Chi-Town, Chicago.
Is he an affiliate of Ubisoft in the Imagine series?
Imagine Young Mexicans...
With a Z.
He has great songs, like Special Girl is one of the greatest ones. If you look up the fan site, it has some of his older stuff, like Rolling with the Homies featuring Spooky. Up in the Studio featuring Lil Wayne. He got a guest appearance by Lil Wayne.
Oh,
it's
nice.
He's just an amazing artist. And you guys should look up his music and listen to it.
Okay. Let's see. Microsoft. There is an Easter egg at the end of Halo ODST on the legendary setting. You get an extra... what are they called? Cutscene. And it's called the epilogue. So during that, you want to press left and right on the joysticks. I think you only have to do it on the right joystick, but I did it on both, just to make sure. Anywho, when you do that, you can move the camera, and you get to see an Easter egg.
What is it?
Oh, well, I'm not going to tell
it's
you.
A real, it's
Spoil
an Easter
it!
Egg, isn't it? A real Easter egg?
Yes.
Spoil it, Adam. Spoil it.
Okay, well, I don't really know what it is. It's like... I think it's a recurring theme from Halo 2 and maybe Halo 1. It's like this monkey guy who's got like a human face, and he's just kind of sitting there, and then... the main character, or I guess not the main character. Anyways, the captain, picks a fly out of his head and eats it or something. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, that's kind of what I said. let's see. Super Street Fighter is coming for 360 and PS3. So far,
yes, another Street Fighter.
Yeah, so far there have been 3 new characters announced. They are T-Hawk, DJ, and newcomer Judy.
I love the... T-Hawk and DJ, two super stereotype characters. T-Hawk, of course, is the Native American character with war paint and feathers in his hair.
Mm-hmm.
And DJ is the huge black man with gigantic red lips. He might as well be wearing blackface. And cornrows, of course.
So in addition to that, they're probably going to have around five new additional characters. The game's supposed to have better online features. They are
guys, hold on, I'll be right back. Keep going.
Okay. They're remaking the opening and ending sequences. The game is going to be a standalone game, but it's not going to be full price. And it's coming, supposedly, in spring 2010. And good news for Danny, because Left 4 Dead 2 is coming to Australia. Yay! But it's the adjusted version, whatever that means.
Wait, so what? Nobody knows what that means?
I don't know what that means. Maybe somebody does.
Adjusted for what? Did they all have? Did they all have Australian accents?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Oh, okay.
They weren't selling the game because the people had American accents, you know.
Ah,
and
so
the Australians were deeply offended.
They
by
were
that.
Heartbroken, just heartbroken.
Yeah. Supposedly, Bungie has a plan for connecting all of the Halo games, comics, and novels to the canon. It's supposed to be like a 6-year plan where they're gonna, you know, make everything make sense, and we have not seen the last of Master Chief, according to
Wait, so it doesn't make sense currently, then?
I haven't read the novels or comics.
What did you guys talk about while I was gone?
Master Chief is coming back!
Oh,
good
boy.
For him. Good for his ass.
Yeah. They've got a 6-year plan to make all of the games, comics, and novels all come together and make sense. That's
I figured
it.
That they would have, like, said when they released the books that they would say, oh, okay, we'll just follow this plot line, just follow around it kind of deal. I didn't think they would.
Well, I mean, I think it's kind of interesting because, you know, you've got all the, like, Star Wars stuff, for example, and, you know, how much of that is... You know, supposedly canon.
No, but apparently that's all canon, though. The books and the comics are all canon to each other, yeah.
The Halo ones?
And, like, the Star Wars stuff...
Well, they're going to be.
The Star Wars stuff is all canon, so...
No, not all
I figure most of it was. Like, stuff that happens after the last movie, when Luke becomes... makes the Jedi Order and all that. That's all shown in the comic books. I figured that was all...
Yeah, some of it is
I
canon.
I figured that stuff was all canon, and then there's, like, the next generation of Skywalkers. No, that was canon.
All the Halo stuff is canon.
Yeah, so then what's confusing about it? I'm curious to know what's confusing about it. I guess nobody here knows, so...
Yeah.
You know what is confusing to me about the Halo books and games is that they'll set prequels, like Halo Wars is a prequel, ODST is a prequel to Halo 2 and 3, and Halo, but they'll show stuff that wasn't in those games. They'll be like, oh, we have like a whole new race of aliens to fight.
By the way.
And new equipment. Really? Where did that come from? How come I didn't have it in the games that take place after? We forget about it? Do we kill them all? Do we forget about them? That's stupid.
It is dumb. You know what would be easier? If Bungie just made another game.
Yeah, if they, instead of making prequels,
sure
either made sequels
to.
Or made a new universe.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, they could have made a new universe and called it something else and made it similar to Halo. It just wouldn't have sold as well because it's not Halo. But... Then if you're going to introduce new things and say it's a prequel, like Matt said, or even if it's a sequel, it has to make sense where these guys are coming from. Otherwise, you fuck up your entire story.
Well, the whole Halo 2 thing was really stupid, how the Brutes just kind of come out of nowhere, and all of a sudden they're the main infantry in the game.
Oh, my friend came up with a theory as to why Brutes are the only enemies in ODST, or rather, why there aren't elites in ODST. He said because they didn't have, like, an enemy AI for the elites from Halo 3's engine. So, I think that maybe...
Oh, yeah.
I think
probably
that
right.
It may be, like, kind of accurate, but they did have, you know, like, allied AI. So I don't see why they couldn't just apply that to enemies.
Couldn't that... That would be completely different coding, right? The allied AI?
Yeah.
It's
not necessarily.
Does it tend to be weaker? I mean, or do they tend to make those guys stronger in some ways, more smarter?
I don't know.
But no, here's where it makes sense, is that programming ally AI, you don't have to make them work in balance with all the enemy units. So with putting elites in there, you'd have to rebalance the way the brutes, the grunts and the jackals work.
Would you really have to? Would you really have to? Can't they get it from like Halo 2 and incorporate it into ODST then?
Well, it's not on the same engine. I mean, but
like AI coding. How does AI coding work?
It's way more work to do that.
Yeah, true. But you're already paying $60 for a new game, right?
Yeah, but do you think if Bungie can crap out a new ODST every 2 years? I'm not saying they crapped it out. It was a labor of love. It was a love for the consumers. But it's already shown that they really just put out a game for $60 that didn't really need to be $60. So to go the extra mile to make it make sense in context of the other game...
Well, I guess the real...
They probably have a reason. They probably have a reason like, oh, well, you didn't know, even though there were no brutes in this other game, well, now there are brutes because we say so.
Here's what I think. And actually, I think they may have said something similar to this, is that all of the elites were off with, like, the profit. They had gone, like, through the slipspace and gone off to the other Halo, while all the brutes and whoever else was left behind in New Mombasa.
I don't buy it.
Yeah, well, I don't either, but I'm sure...
They're coming up with it. They're thinking of an excuse. But, Adam, I mean, you probably know more about programming than the rest of us. How hard is it for, in terms of programming AI from one engine to another? It's night and day.
Dear. I've never programmed AI, so I don't know.
Okay.
How hard would it be to program the movie AI to play in a game whenever you win and your reward?
That's probably not too hard.
You get to watch that masterpiece.
That would not be hard.
Every
at all.
Time
that
you
would
win.
Just be interlacing movie. It just say it's an movie.
Hold on. Then why has not that not happened?
Because
yet?
Of copyright issues.
Why don't you make it happen, Matt?
I want to call up Steven Spielberg. Boomblox. If when you beat Boomblox, you should be able to watch AI.
The next one.
There is no next one. He gets
No. I meant the next Boomblox, not the next AI.
Oh,
no,
okay.
No, the AI. AI 2.
You mean AI 2, right? Oh, I mean, what else is there left? He's in a fake world now, and he's never going to see his mom again.
No.
I don't even know.
You know, hold on. Can we talk about AI for a second? How stupid the ending of that movie is?
The movie sucked.
Okay. But the thing is...
the ending sucked.
If the movie ended with him looking at the blue fairy, it would have been so much better than the robots from the future resurrecting his mom. But then they're like, "Oh, we can only resurrect her for a day." Really? You can only make one copy of her based on her DNA, and you can only make it. That's just like fairy tale logic.
It's just retarded, and it's completely stupid. And,
you know, that energy has to come from somewhere, and there's only so much energy in the
universe.
You know
what, Adam? Shut the
They're
fuck
robots.
Up, okay?
They're robots that walk around and control the world and fly on, like, panels that can rearrange themselves to be ships.
Well, that can all be easily explained, but, I mean, reincarnating someone for more than one day is just ridiculous.
You're right. That's stupid. I'm dumb. I don't even know the basics of reincarnation.
Nope.
I only took Reincarnation 101. I didn't advance any further.
Adam, I would say right now, just be very careful, because the moment I open my mouth about this, it's going to be a very boring topic.
Yes, I know. That's why I'm trying to move on.
Okay, move
Sony!
On.
Sony! Sony showed off PS1 control with Little Big Planet, and so they've got, just one video up, and what I saw was one person's playing Sackboy with the DualShock, and the other person's using the wand to, like, move objects and interact with objects just like you would the Wiimote in, you know, most games. Sony is including digital copies of movies with Blu-rays for exclusive use on the PSP. And that's all with Sony.
Wait, so Little Big Planet, is it just making the levels or also moving Sackboy? Sackboy, whatever.
Sackboy and Lava Girl.
Well, what they showed, one person is playing a Sackboy with the DualShock, and then the other person's using the wand to control objects, not Sackboy. Like, moving obstacles so Sackboy could, you know, jump on them and stuff. Basically, it looked like an alternative to Sackboy dragging around stuff.
That seems lame. Okay. Alright.
Yeah.
That's been done already.
Netflix wants to be available on, quote, all of the consoles, all the Blu-ray players, all of the internet TVs. So, their exclusivity with Microsoft may not last forever. So that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, it hurt their business.
Right. Beyonce is interested in making a fitness video game in which she wants to include some kind of dancing. So I'm sure soon enough we'll see Beyonce's dance beat.
Beyonce dancing?
Dance beat, like Britney's dance beat.
No, that's just weird that Beyonce would make a dancing video game.
But you know who it's for.
As opposed to her making a fitness video game.
If she was making a first person shooter, if Beyonce made an RTS, I'd understand.
Okay, of course. How could I be so naive?
Beyonce as Kerrigan.
Destiny's Child Craft.
Let's see. GameStop is now offering instruction manuals and, quote, game art with games bought online. Used games bought online. They use the term game art rather than, like, box art.
Yeah.
So I'm not really sure
generic,
what that is.
Every time I bought a used game from GameStop, it always has that generic anime dudes wrestling on a couch.
Yeah.
And dudes would be spelled D00DZ.
Of course.
Is it spelled any other way?
Never.
Exactly.
All right, so that's it for Adam's Gaming Hour, or News Hour, whatever I called it. So, excuse me. Let's just move on to the main discussion, in which we are going to talk about music games and rhythm games and Matt dying.
It's the lupus.
Hopefully I get reincarnated. For more than one day.
All right.
Matt,
so,
I'm going to freeze myself just for you. And then when the robots come for me, they're going to ask me, what one human can I see for one day? And I'll say, definitely not Adam, because he's Jewish.
Oh. Well, that's okay, because I don't want to see you
either. Don't worry.
And then, will we end the day the same way?
You'll like sleep on my lap and then
cuddling
and then
together?
Die, or?
Yeah,
probably.
That's so sad.
I want to die cuddling. That's my dream.
She doesn't die. She just becomes unreincarnated.
Oh. Okay.
That's a technical term for it.
Now it makes sense.
Well, you're using all this science-y talk. Unreincarnated.
Mm-hmm. All right, so Alex, why don't you start us off? This was your idea. Your brainchild.
So, I guess the question is, how are music games affecting the music industry? Is it a positive force? Is it a negative force?
And what exactly do you mean by that? Like, can you be a little more specific?
Well, I mean, I guess it gets a little bit more complicated just because the music industry itself has changed so much in the past 10 years. I guess the advent of MP3s being very popular and people downloading music and
digital distribution.
And I guess in the 80s you had music videos, and now you have another, basically music games, rhythm games are another outlet for people to actually listen to music. And is it necessarily a good thing or a bad thing, or is it just something different? And I guess who does it give the advantage to, essentially?
Well, one thing I think is interesting, that people preferred the masters of both the Metallica album. I mean, there's one other album, but what's Metallica's latest album?
Oh, shit.
Death Magnetic. No. Death Magnetic. People preferred the masters on the Guitar Hero game more than they did the masters on the album. Like, because it was less compressed or something. And people liked the way... I thought that was interesting. Like,
people could hear... So people can actually hear it more. I guess they can hear better quality. Is that the case?
Well, yeah. It's just people complain about over-compression, I guess, on the last album. So it's, like, really squashed. Okay. And there's no dynamics.
Okay.
And I guess it wasn't as bad on the Guitar Hero game. I just thought it was interesting because I've never heard somebody playing Rock Band going, oh wow, this sounds a lot better than the album.
Well, I mean, there was a lot of complaints with the original Guitar Hero, the first Guitar Hero games, when they didn't use the master tracks. You know, when it was a cover band, because the first time they, like the first game and second game, is mostly covers, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And there was people definitely noticed that they were covers, even though they were pretty close on. The covers were pretty spot on. But people definitely recognize that, well, this isn't exactly Jimi Hendrix singing, or this isn't exactly Nirvana singing, or, you know, they really recognized Kurt Cobain's voice, and that the music, the solos themselves were a little bit different.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I think it's kind of a hard thing to even quantify, like, what impact the music games have had on the recording industry. Although, I do think that music games are another outlet, like you know, the harmonics band Freeze Pop.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody really knew. They got popular from being in the harmonics games because, like, one of the guys who works at harmonics is in the band, and so he kind of put that band in the game, and people found out about him that way. And I think that's just another way of getting your music out there.
I think it's actually helping the smaller bands out, like you were mentioning, because harmonics. Yeah. A lot of those bands are never going to make it into the labels.
Recently,
Harmonix said that they're going to put, like, a music or a song creation into Rock Band.
So they were...
No. They're doing Rock Band Network. I went to the panel at PAX. Yeah. So I can talk about the Rock Band Network. I can tell you about it if you want me to.
Yeah, sure.
So basically the way it works is... You have to buy, for one thing, you have to buy an XNA membership, which is $100 a year, or $100 for 4 months or something.
Wow.
Forgot. It's kind of, it's $100 a year. It's expensive, but basically you have to do that, and then you have to buy this program for $60 called Lava or something, because they said lava is where rock comes from. it's a joke.
Da-da-da-da-da-da.
So that's a PC program, right?
Yes, and you have to use this PC program. You take the stems of your original master recording, or unmastered recording. So you take the stems, so you take the vocals, you take the drums, and you actually should... They said you should split up the drums into at least kick and snare, if you can, if you have that. And then the overheads or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then the guitar, bass... and then background tracks. And so you're using basically so that it reads your drum tracks, creates a tempo, and it can kind of create the notes itself for your drum tracks just by listening to it.
So it's going to figure it out on its own then? The program itself will figure it out?
Yeah, but not for the guitar and bass. You're going to have to do that yourself. But, I mean, it's not like you actually have to note it out in MIDI because it's just the five... buttons.
Yeah, but you'd have to put the chords down or something.
You kind of decide.
So are you going to never mind, that wouldn't work.
So basically, you can create the track as hard or as easy, and you can create different difficulties for it. And this is, I think this, they said this is literally the program, this is how they do it. And then, not only can you do that, you also can go in and create a completely custom stage show.
Oh, that's nice. Pretty cool.
And then, like, or it will just listen to your music and make a stage show for you, and it will be synced up to your music.
Wow.
And it creates the lip sync automatically also.
Oh, wow.
And that's so impressive. Then you kind of put this all together, then you can listen to it, and since it's not your original masters, since you made it from the stem files, you can make it louder, different tracks louder and softer, and then you put it all in an MP3 with this special data that goes along with the track, and then you send it over to your Rock Band 2, and you can test it on your Rock Band 2, or you can upload it to the Rock Band network, and then it passes a peer review, so people basically, other people that play the game decide, obviously you don't want to upload a cover, you're not allowed to upload covers,
but
and so people listen to it, decide if it's done well, if it's tabbed right, and if it's as easy or hard as you say it is.
That's actually really cool.
And then it gets on the Rock Band network, and you can choose pricing. It's either like $180 or $320, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And you keep like 30% of the profits or something.
Wow,
that's actually really cool.
So
that's really cool.
It's only for Xbox. It's coming out this fall, I think they said. Or they didn't say. They said soon.
I think my friend's already got the program.
He probably got into the beta.
Maybe.
Or no, he might have been able to get the program, but
the service isn't coming.
Yeah, the service is coming soon.
Okay.
And then, but it's only for Xbox at first.
Right.
And the other thing with it is, you can basically you can hire people to do this for you. Like there'll be people who can tab it out for you in case you don't want to spend.
Because the advantage there would be,
because like if you're
if you're a band, you want to get your music out, and this is a great way to get your music out now. Unless one of the guys wants to spend all day doing the fucking computer work. They could have guys who already know how to do the programming and also know the tapping.
Yeah, and not only that, is you don't have to buy the program and you don't have to pay for the XNA membership. You can just pay a guy like $50 to do your song.
Yeah, and then have him set up the normal network and then let them even keep all the profit.
So this is obviously a very good, you know, step for the industry.
Well, I don't know if it's a good step for the... It's a bad step for the industry. It's a great step for independent musicians. Or it's a great...
A bad step for the industry?
The industry itself doesn't like anything like this. The music in the record industry doesn't like stuff like this, because they can't... Anytime independent groups, their own bands, can actually do stuff like this and sell out their music and get it distributed.
Without coming to a recording studio, you mean?
Well, without, not even just a recording, without going to a recording studio, without having to make a deal with the record industry that makes the money. The guys who are making money here are Harmonix and the guys doing the programming, right? It's not Capitol Records.
A lot of people don't know how exactly the recording industry works, but a lot of it is bands get signed and then...
Because the bands don't make it. Yeah, the bands don't make any money off of the CDs.
End up having to tour for years and might still end up in debt because they, their recording budget went over what they made in album sales and stuff like that. And basically, the record label loans you money when you make your, when you record your album, and they expect to make it back. And that's a lot, like, popular bands obviously are making a lot of money.
Like, Metallica has... I think Metallica owns their own label now, right? When the whole MP3 thing broke out and Lars made the comment about stealing music through Napster, the whole reason he was actually upset was because they were actually losing... Metallica was losing a lot of money. Actually, I had a quick question for you, Matt. When you were saying that the master track, people preferred the master tracks on Guitar Hero versus the album. You were saying, because when you're playing the game, you have to be able to hear certain parts better than others, right?
Yeah.
So I'm guessing...
Yeah. Again, I'm not exactly sure how that works, because... Because
I'm guessing from what...
To me, isn't
it... I'm guessing that what you're... that what you... Like, the way you describe how they do... How they make the music... you can balance out certain things, and because you're playing a game, essentially, you need to hear certain parts better than others. Like, you could tone down the bass a little more, but for the drums, you have to hear the snare, or you have to hear certain parts a little better.
Well, it's explaining, if you know what mastering is, so this is going to be a boring technical podcast. Basically, if you know what mastering is once the song's mixed down, then you bounce it, either through Pro Tools or through a tape machine to some kind of file storage, put it on a tape reel, put it on a CD or something, so you have all the tracks individually, the whole songs. And so now you don't have any more control over the individual tracks. You can't turn up the guitar or whatever because it's all mixed down. And then you bring it over to the mastering engineer and he puts the final level of compression and EQ on it. But the thing is that now music is a lot louder and less dynamic than it was
20 years ago.
Because they know how to make limiters better. Basically, technology has gotten better, so digital limiters can push music way louder than ever before. So it can get super loud, but doesn't have harsh clipping noises. But it just makes it sound super compressed. And it still clips, but it's not that noticeable. And so, basically, nowadays, albums are pushed really hard. And some people claim they can hear it a lot. Some people have no idea. But apparently a lot of people, even people that don't really care, could hear it on the last Metallica album, that it was being pushed so hard that everything was the same volume. And
that
so,
was the album or Rock Band?
That was the album.
No, that's the album. So for Rock Band, how they have to do it so that when you mess up and the then the guitar cuts out or whatever, they have to make it so you upload the individual tracks. Yeah. So when you send it over to Rock Band, you send over your music information, they send Pro Tools files or whatever, they're not sending them the master tracks. They're sending them the guitar track, mm-hmm. the drum track, all separately, so it's unmastered. So it's not being pushed by the limiter.
That's sort of sad. So they didn't mix it. They didn't mix it as well as the harmonics guys then, essentially.
Yeah.
If you think about it that way.
Yeah, well, that's what people say.
I mean, that's sort of depressing.
But I mean, harmonics... Well, no, harmonics employs music and engineers. I mean, that's who does the programming for their
games.
No,
that's true. It just seems sad that Metallica... It's gotten to the point that even Metallica hasn't... You know, they can't... The harmonics guys do it better than Metallica. I mean, Metallica's been around for...
Well, it's whoever they hired as their master engineer.
But you can imagine that they've spent a lot of money on who their engineer is, probably, right?
Yeah, well,
they probably spent some ridiculous amount of money on that, and you would expect a lot higher quality, essentially. Oh.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's also subjective. Maybe people like hearing it like that. I don't know, because I don't like Metallica, so I can't even listen to the music long enough to decide how it sounds. So
there's two other advantages I could really think of with music games. One of them has to do with. So we talked about how no-name bands get pretty well known. Like Dragon Force is a great example, right? Once Through the Fire and Flames came out for Guitar Hero 3, and people heard it, they're like, "Wow, this band is actually pretty cool." Or there was a fad for a while. I know their album sales like skyrocketed, or their downloads skyrocketed after Guitar Hero 3 came out, and they were relatively unknown. The other advantage is, and it goes back to something like a Rock Band Beatles, where a lot of old music is starting to, you know, a lot of music that people sort of recognize or have never heard, and it's been around for a while, is starting to get popular again. Like the Beatles are a great example. I don't think that the people have heard of the Beatles, but they haven't heard many of those songs by the Beatles. The Who's...
I know, or they just hear the popular ones. Like every time... people play that game, they're always like one or
they'll
two songs.
They'll play Let It Be.
Like,
oh, yeah, Let It Be or...
Yeah, exactly. Or I don't think Let It Be is on there, but... no, but they'll be like, oh, I know like Yellow Submarine, but then like a song like Hey Bulldog or something that nobody's... That was only released as a single.
But then when they hear it, they'll actually... Yeah, it exposes it to them.
Yeah, and they'll be like, this is
actually
awesome,
a cool
but
song.
I've never
yeah,
heard
what is this
before. I didn't know the Beatles did stuff like this.
There was also a...
So do you think like music like that is becoming popular again solely because they're put in these video games, or do you think if those video games didn't exist, that trend would still be around?
I don't think that trend would be as strong. I think The Who is a great example of this also, because I think they're one of the first classic rock bands to really push for this. Especially, when Rock Band 1 came out, they were really pushing their album to come out. Like, they were putting entire discographies onto the marketplace to be played. And, you know, as of late, classic rock has started getting more popular just because they're being played in commercials and TV shows. So people are starting to recognize those songs. And now with Rock Band, I think they've become even more popular. It's only strengthened them. I don't think they would be as popular now without those games. It's sort of a resurgence of a band, and especially because when you're playing this song, you'll now know. It's not like hearing the commercial or watching CSI Miami, right, where they play that Who song. The name of the song pops up and the name of the band pops up, and you recognize the sound.
And the other thing is, not only will you play it once, you'll play it multiple times to master it. Mm-hmm. And then you'll be like, hold on, this is a great song. Let me go buy a Who album.
It only helps them. I think the only thing that it doesn't help, and it's not the game's fault, it's more of a trend in music in general, is probably the album is getting killed by this.
Oh, totally. Well, the reason why it's getting... The album got killed when the MP3 came out, because
before then, it was probably... It was singles. Singles were making most of the money anyway.
Well, no, singles have existed forever.
Yeah, but I mean...
But the thing is about... the album is all about the constraints of a physical medium.
Yeah.
So you can't, like, it, on a CD, you can't have on one CD, you can only have 80 minutes of music. Mm-hmm. So unless you want to do a double album, and an LP is even more restrictive. Like, an LP, you can only fit, like, 4 songs. You feel like, what, how much is it, like 10 minutes or 12 minutes of music on a 45 or something?
I don't know if that was so much, because when I keep on thinking something like the Beatles have the A side and B side, where they know they were constrained, but within each side, you can create essentially a piece of work, a piece of art.
But that's why it exists. It's just like, it's a restriction that was used for good. Mm-hmm. But now that MP3s exist and you can just download whatever songs, you don't need, like, I could release a 6-hour album as one MP3 file if I felt like it. Like that, even though nobody would listen to it and it'd be retarded, I could do it. I couldn't do that. Like, I couldn't just release that in a store somewhere.
True, but the thing is, what's happened, I think, and this has happened since the mid-80s, but I think it's even more relevant now. Most songs are mostly 5 or 6 minutes, 4 to 6 minutes, right? Radio airtime play is about 5 minutes, and they want you to cut down your song as much as possible. Especially in playing a rock band game, you don't want to play a song more than 5 minutes, or else most people's hands get tired. Was the Dream Theater song Panic Attack on Rock Band 2? The song itself is, I love that song, but it's like a 10-minute song, and nobody will play that song with me because A, they don't know it, and B, it's a fucking 10-minute song.
Yeah, or like,
can you imagine?
I Want You by the Beatles on Beatles Rock Band, it's 7.5 minutes.
And even at 7.5, people are like, shit, this is long as hell.
It's always the song I save for last because I'm like, I'm not playing this in the middle of a set list. Because I don't want to be tired after that.
Greengrass and High Tides by the Outlaws. It's the last song on Rock Band 1. And that's a great, it's an awesome guitar solo. It's like 2 really long-ass guitar solos. And people are like, fuck, I can't get past the 3-minute mark because my hands are already tired by then. And people don't have the attention span for that. So the limitation no longer becomes the technology. The limitation becomes people's attention spans.
Yeah, well, I mean, but people have always preferred singles anyway. I mean, it's not the people who like music; it's the people who listen to music.
Yeah,
as background.
I think it's become more. I don't know if it's. I don't think I'm not blaming the game for this. The games for this. I just think it's been dying, and I don't think it's really. I don't think the games are really helping. There's no way, I can't imagine a Pink Floyd song ever being in Rock Band, for instance.
No, Pink Floyd songs will be in.
It's
Rock Band.
They're other than them being easy. The chords are the complexity comes in the chords, but the songs are long, right? So Echoes is fucking 23 to 25 minutes. I would kill for them to do like Shine On You Crazy Diamond beginning to end, but that's 25 fucking minutes of music.
Yeah,
nobody's gonna play 25 minutes of Rock Band at once for one single song unless you're like your diehard Pink Floyd fans. I can't imagine.
That'd be pretty interesting if they did do something.
But with the Rock Band Network, if you have a progressive rock band now that does that long songs, I wonder if there's restrictions. I wonder if you could release a song like that.
Yeah.
And the other thing is now Rock Band, they were talking about how Rock Band is rock music. I mean, that's in the title. But with Rock Band Network, I mean, we think of, people have complained about this. Oh, man, I play Rock Band, I got a guitar controller, and now in the Beatles, it's making me play strings. What? It's like, just because it's a guitar controller, it's still a controller. You can make it any instrument you want. So when you think about it, now you could have, a rap group. You could release that through Rock Band Network. You could do anything. And you could have the instruments control whatever you want.
The sky is the limit.
The sky's the limit. So that's why I think opening it up to people, just like destroying the record labels and opening it up to internet distribution and self-distribution, enhances creativity because now people can do whatever they want.
It's better for the consumers in the long run.
It's definitely going to be really cool.
I know Guitar Hero was really disappointing because everybody was pumped for the make your own song thing.
Their music creation.
Because originally when you heard it, you're like, oh, that'd be awesome if you could load your own songs on. It ended up being like MIDI versions of shit.
Yeah, and you couldn't do vocals.
You couldn't do much. I think this is a really good way of getting your music out there. And like you were saying before, Matt, or I forgot who said it, but anyway, it's a really great way of making that creativity push for music, essentially. I'm really curious to know what would come out of it.
Yeah. Like you said, it's going to introduce... people are going to be able to be introduced to bands. Through the funness.
Can
of
you actually do it for free, though? Can you actually put your music for free?
No. The reason why is because they host it.
Yeah.
So by offering your songs for free, that'd be kind of using their bandwidth for free.
But if you're already paying, let's say you want to pay them to actually pay for the bandwidth for the space.
No, you can't. There's no way. But that's also the same reason why everything in Microsoft, like most games in Microsoft, through
cost
Xbox
money.
Live won't, like, they just released they're releasing a new patch for Left 4 Dead where it adds a new map. Like a whole new 4 campaign thing, and it on PC it's free because Valve always gives away their stuff for free, but through Xbox it costs like $8 or something.
Yeah,
because Microsoft does the Xbox Live thing and makes you pay for it, they make companies use their servers and stuff. So.
Yeah, it's just. That's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous, but in terms of Rock Band, it makes sense in Rock Band's case.
Well, Rock Band makes sense
because it's harmonics.
Harmonics
is software, and there's no other way of doing it, essentially. In Microsoft's case, if Valve decides to host... I mean, they have the servers themselves to do this, so you can't directly connect using... I mean, you can't directly connect without using Microsoft's own software. I mean, it's sort of shit. I mean, it's very much shit.
Yeah.
I don't want to get into that right now, but
it's
stupid.
All right, so Alex, you were talking about like listening to songs in Rock Band is going to boost like album sales.
I don't know if it's going to necessarily.
It's
going to
boost.
It'll boost popularity of
songs.
Bands.
Yeah,
I think that. I think
we
should.
That's basically what I was going to say. Is are people going to really go out and buy these albums, or are they just going to get on their computer and download the songs for free?
The surprising statistic has
That's always been an option.
The surprising statistic has been that. Smaller bands have actually prospered from the MP3 the current generation. Bands that are not really well known. And what they do is they give out their songs for free, and you can buy their album. And you give them enough, you give enough songs for people to get curious, and they actually buy the albums.
So you've got a free version, but you can also buy the album?
Well, you have free songs to download. What a lot of amateur bands and smaller bands have done, and they haven't really needed popular the major labels for it, they would actually allow for free downloads of some songs, but they wouldn't release the entire album. And so they would say, if you want the rest of the songs, please buy our album, please support us, we're artists, and so forth. So small groups online would normally let people download maybe one or two songs, or even more. And they would encourage people, like, if you like our music, please buy our albums. And they've been able to sell a lot more albums because of this, because people finally listen to a couple of their songs, and then they're like, oh, we really like it, we'll actually buy the album. And even, was it Coldplay? They had that experiment where they actually said you could pay for...
No,
Radiohead. Yeah, you could pay for whatever amount you want for each song, for each album.
Oh, yeah.
And the average ended up being like $10. People were willing to pay $10 for an album.
Nice.
So it's not a bunch of cheating assholes. People really do pay for, there's a fairness involved.
But here's a question. Why do you think people pay, why do people buy albums? Like, personally, I think, as of now, like at this point in time, the reason people buy albums is, to have, a physical album. Is to have, the CD and the album art, and to say, I have this. Like, for me, I would rather have a physical copy of a DVD than a digital copy.
I think that's definitely a big part. I also think it's up.
So, wait, you're asking why people buy physical albums still?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, for the art and for the you know, packaging. And like you said, like you feel like you actually own it, as opposed to digital, where it could be kind of more easily erased. It feels
right.
Like.
So then the next question is, why do people buy digital albums?
Convenience. Convenience, and you can buy single songs.
But the in terms of, it depends on what type of music you want to listen to also. We were talking before about Pink Floyd, and a lot of older bands, Beatles were famous for this, where you should buy the entire, you experience something by listening to the entire album. Classical music especially, right? Mm. You can't listen to just one, like a classical music enthusiast will not listen to just one movement of a symphony. They need all four of them. Right, so you need the whole thing.
Well, how many people do you think, you know, could say that they listen to music for the experience?
Oh, not very many anymore.
Yeah,
it's become I don't want to say it's a dying art, but it's become less popular.
Yeah, I pretty much only listen to whole albums because it's, I don't know.
Well, there's a difference between listening to something. I know we're really veering off topic, but there's a difference between listening to something while you're in a car, for instance, and really sitting down and listening to a song. I can give a really boring example. If you listen to like a Bach fugue, a fugue is basically a very complicated round. It's like row, row, row your boat, except there's a lot of different rules and very different patterns. When you're listening to it in a car, or if you're listening to it at work, it's something that sounds nice, right? It's something to distract you or keep your attention on something. When you're listening to it by sitting there and, you know, you close your eyes, you're really trying to dissect each part of that music, each part of that song, trying to understand where each part is coming from, maybe the pattern of it or the structure of the music.
Well, yeah, and the same with music, with lyrics in it too.
Exactly, yeah.
Then you have like that element where more the lyrics are doing the talking, literally.
And you're seeing how well it mixes into the music. So it's looking at it in a more conscious way.
But I think it's just a different way. Like people don't do. There's always the same people who will listen to music intensively and critically like that.
Yeah.
There's not on the decline. They're not going down. It's just
I think there is. I mean, I think compared to maybe the 60s and 70s, when people really, you know, the album on each side, people had to listen, had to actually work to get the damn record player to play this. You couldn't just go to track 7. You had to actually play the damn thing through.
Mm-hmm.
You could skip, but it's not going to exactly be there, right? It's not the same. It's a lot harder.
Yes, it is. It's easy. Have you ever used a record player? It's easy to skip songs. You just have to find where the song starts.
It's a pain in the ass to actually do it, to physically do it. And people actually...
Right. He's saying like, you know, you can't skip automatically right to the song.
It's not like... There's a...
Like, you know, there's no next button. You can't do like, oh, I started track 1, next, track 2, next, track 3.
I don't think that makes people listen to songs any more intensely.
No, I think if...
Most people listen to...
I think it forces people to actually listen to it, to actually sit down and listen to an entire album. And when you listen to an entire album, it forces you to actually pay attention. Right.
I don't know if it forces you to, because I think that no matter what people... There's some people who have... Their interaction with art is purely from an entertainment standpoint, and I think that's why most people listen to music. And I don't think it's bad.
Well, I think the entertainment used to be a little deeper. That's just my impression. I have like people.
Was it deeper, or was there just less fluff?
Maybe it's both.
There's more.
It's hard to write 60 minutes worth of music, right? It's hard to write 60 minutes worth of songs. I think Yes albums were only 45 minutes essentially, because the CDs themselves are now they pack it with all the studio recordings that they could old studio recordings I could find. But the original albums were like three, four songs each, about 15-20 minutes each. About 10 to 20 minutes apiece. So for 45 minutes, people would say, well, you know, I'm paying $18 for a CD. That's a ripoff. So they try putting a couple more songs on there to fluff it up. Back then, it's easier to write 40 minutes, 45 minutes worth of music. And you got a really good deal out of it, and you could listen to the whole thing. And I think people really did, you know, listen to it a lot more. I mean, the popularity of Dark Side of the Moon, popularity of something like Revolver, those are full albums that people listen to. And I think they were short enough that people had the attention span to go through it and really say, well, this album itself, this collection of work is great.
Is that those bands were popular, though? Like, a band being popular really has nothing to do with the quality of the band or the deepness of the band.
Well, I mean, when you compare it to... I mean, now, the problem is... My problem now is because I don't listen to a lot of more modern music, but I can't imagine people saying the same thing about a Britney Spears album. I can't say the same... So, I can't see...
Well, yeah, because that's popular music now. I mean, you happen to prefer popular music.
Well, I mean, popular music in the 80s, if I can say something like The Stranger, Billy Joel's The Stranger is a great album, and that's essentially 1980s pop music. And the equivalent pop music now would, you know, or in 2000 is Britney Spears, I could say. I would assume.
But the whole thing is that that's just what's popular now, and so people listen to it because...
Well, that's the thing, like, but the thing is, what's...
The Beatles were popular, so there were people that listened to it and said, oh, you know what, it's a little bit deeper, and there are people who listen to it and say, oh, that has a nice melody. And just like now, there are people who listen to Britney Spears and go, oh, that has a nice melody, and then there are people who listen to it and go, oh, no, it's crap.
Well, there's no...
Well, that's the thing, right?
If the music itself doesn't have any... If the album itself doesn't have anything to offer as a whole, then really, what's the point of listening to the entire thing from back to front? In terms of an older album, it's quote-unquote deeper. I mean, I use that term, but essentially the entire album is a work. That's how the thought of it was. Dark Side of the Moon is essentially, you listen, it's a whole story. It's a concept album. You listen from beginning to end, and it tells you essentially a story. And it gives you this full flavor. In more modern times, I think, the album has become just a collection of songs. You write 10 songs as best as possible and you put them together. And it doesn't really, as long as you have one popular song that you could sell on the radio, the rest of it could be shit. And that's hurt the industry in many ways.
No, but I think there's always been bands like that.
Well, I think they're just... Oh, yeah.
The bands that do that now, the bands that make concept albums now, aren't popular. So
okay, I'll give you that.
I mean, the album isn't popular now because now that it's possible to get that one radio-friendly song that's good, then the rest of the songs don't matter. People were listening to albums for the same reason they listen to them now, and that was to listen to those one or two popular songs. Mm. But they just had to wade through all the other songs that they didn't really care about. But now that they can go and download whatever Lady Gaga's song, and then download Lil Romeo, and then download LFO, Who Let the Dogs Out, and put that on their iPod in a playlist and put it in their car, then they don't have to worry about...
I agree with you with the popular song idea being in the past and in the present. It's just, I think, there was more attention to detail. There's more bands doing it, and more, like you were saying, more popular bands really putting a focus on the album as a whole in the past compared to now. And I think it really shows that quality really does stand out when you could still listen to an entire album from the past. And I really have a hard time doing it now. Maybe it's just because I'm not interested in those songs, but, you know, the advent of MP3s, it's made it really popular. One-hit wonders are essentially getting killed here, because one guy, just the guy with one great song and nothing else, well, that song gets downloaded the shit out of, and...
Aw, oh, man, they need Stacy's mom on Rock Band.
But there's still a lot of bands that do make great albums, but they're just... That's just not popular, so
It's a change.
Okay, very rarely will that get popular.
Let's try to get back into the question. How exactly are the rhythm and music games affecting these artists and the industry?
I don't know. I think we covered that. It's a new way to introduce...
I think it's giving more
music.
Power. I think another way we put it, it's giving more... It's
more
power
to
the musicians.
To
it's giving...
Yeah, right, so is
artists.
it is it hurting the industry and helping the individual?
Depend. It's hurting. I don't think it's necessarily. It's hurting the recording industry. It's hurting big labels.
It's hurting the recording industry in a very indirect way, though. It's hurting it in a way that it's like, now we don't really have to go to the recording. Because the whole thing is, the reason why recording industries exist is because there wasn't an internet and there wasn't a way to find music. Like, if now you can look up a band. Like, if you want to look up my band, Balloons is Fun, you could go to myspace.com/balloonsisfun, go listen to our music, download our album, pay for our album preferably, do whatever you want. You go do that, right? But in the past, if we weren't signed to a record label and we just recorded our album and like pressed it to a tape or something, we'd have to hand out our tapes. You couldn't go to a store and be like, hey, can I get the Balloons is Fun album? And they'd be like, what is that?
Right. So, so obviously this is affecting the like the individuals or the unknown artists, but how about the artists that are signed to labels?
I think for old,
well, like, no, there's
songs
already getting
older bands, I think it's a boon. I think it helps them because their album sales have probably most likely stagnated over the past several years. But
here's the thing is I what Adam's asking is, what do bands that are already exist and are signed to labels, how is it affecting them? And I
think not how is it affecting them, but okay, forget the
negatively, you mean?
No. Forget the unknown artists, okay? So obviously the games and digital distribution, you know, not even necessarily games, just digital distribution as a whole is helping the unknown artists. But specifically looking at these music games and looking at these old artists that are signed, they have labels, are their songs on these games helping the industry or hurting the industry or doing nothing?
What songs?
Whatever songs they have on these games.
The signed artists. Are you talking about the signed artists? The ones that are on record labels?
Yeah.
It's helping. It's probably...
I don't really think it's doing either. I mean, it helps the individual bands. But the record labels already have ways of promoting music, so it doesn't really matter. Although maybe a song will get popular through Rock Band of an already recognized artist, like Alex said, through older artists especially,
because nobody's buying the album. Or a lot of people haven't listened to those albums, at least in the current generations.
But I mean, it's really, if you think about Rock Band as a promotional tool. Signed artists already have promotional tools, and that's.
But this isn't. I think this isn't even. This is an additional outlet for it. It helps.
So
it doesn't. Yeah, it probably doesn't hurt. It probably doesn't hurt the record industry directly. Like it's not like a competitor like Napster was. Napster was a direct competitor.
But are you saying they're losing sale?
They're not losing possible sales because you're playing a game.
No, they're definitely.
But you're
not
interested in the music, so you'll buy the album. What it does do, though, is it makes the record labels less powerful, less of an immediate thing you need to have.
When signed artists are put side by side by independent artists, it's gotten to a point where it's taking it away
a little bit. They have less of a clout now. The record labels have less clout because their whole thing was, we can get your album out there, we can promote you, we can have people listen to you, you have to sign the contract. Well, in the modern age, you can already have your own website, you can distribute the music digitally, and you can promote it various ways, and one of the ways is paying maybe the $160 to get your album, to get the programming so that you can get your album onto Rock Band.
Mm-hmm.
And crying out loud, Rock Band is a huge... I mean, the only disadvantage here would be people still have to pay a certain amount of money for the songs. So, it's not completely free that everybody can listen to it whenever they want. They would have to still put some sort of investment to actually play a song, have some reason to play the song to begin with. But even so, it's another way for them to distribute the music and not need the record labels, or not need involvement of the record labels, essentially.
Right. So, Here's another question, and I don't know the answer to this. Maybe you guys do. When the sign artists have songs on these games, and you know those songs sell, who gets the money? Does the record industry get any
record,
of that money?
Whoever owns the song.
Artists?
So it's usually the record labels own the songs.
Yeah,
that's why the Beatles had this big problem. Paul McCartney has been trying to buy back the Beatles discography, essentially, because the labels had... it's all copyrighted under them, right? So they own the music. So in order for a band to be able to have a band to show up on Rock Band or Guitar Hero, the label has to say, okay, we're willing to give you the rights for this song, essentially. So from this, in this standpoint, the label will make direct money directly. What it does, it probably does hurt. It probably helps them in that way, but it hurts them. This software is going to hurt them eventually, just because the distribution is going to be unnecessary through the label.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a double-edged sword. Of all the industries, the movie industry has been pretty progressive. If you think about it, they've been pretty on top of things. The music industry is so slow. They still have problems. They still have major problems. CD sales. People would definitely buy more CDs if they made the damn thing cheaper. I mean, it's sort of a no-brainer, right?
How much are CDs now? Like $20, $30?
No. $15 to $18. But still, $15 is a shitload of money. I mean...
Yeah. For something you could get for a lot less digital.
That depends.
$10 on
$10 for 10 songs is sort of a... It could be seen as a ripoff. It depends where you're getting the music and how old the music is.
No, it's not 10 songs. Unless an album is double disc, it will be $10 in iTunes.
Well, that's a good deal.
So if it's 15 songs, it's still $10.
I've been listening to Kansas lately, and their CDs are like $6. Because nobody listens to nobody listens to them anymore. I mean, I think I got most of the Pink Floyd albums. They're still about $15, $15 to $18, depending where you go. Or some classical music tends to be really cheap. So I'm getting all Beethoven's piano sonatas for like $40, which is a steal.
Wow.
Well, closing thoughts on music.
Yeah, we're getting
What's your review of music on the whole?
Music is good. Listen to music. Music makes me happy. Sometimes music makes me sad. Sometimes music makes me laugh. Music is good.
If you want a band that does all those things and more, makes your dream comes true, go listen to Balloons is Fun. MySpace.com/BalloonsIsFun. BalloonsIsFun.com. There's a little known band, but they're going to be stars. That's all I have to say.
Superstars.
I'm in the band, but it's not
important. Very gay superstars.
That's not. If I wasn't in the band, it would still be my favorite band.
Everybody knows that's a lie.
That's
a big lie. Huge lie.
I'll lie.
Giant.
Nope.
All right, so Matt, let's talk about the status of the contest.
Fan art contest. I've got two entries from the same guy. I'm kind of disappointed.
The first,
see them. I heard about them, but I didn't see them.
Okay. Matt, for review, what is the contest?
It's supposed to be. It's the family friendly fan art of me and Alex having brunch with
Ash's mom. Was it Ash's mom? Ash's mom.
Ash Ketchum's
it's
mom.
Ash's mom.
Miss Ketchum.
That's what it is.
She might have been artificially inseminated.
Yeah. There might have been an Eiffel Tower.
Okay,
involved.
So basically you asked for you and Alex having brunch with this woman, correct?
Yes, brunch.
Yes. And then what did Mr. Lucas Kosinski send you?
It looked like some kind of squiggles on a white background.
Right. So
drawn by someone with no artistic talent.
His first submission was made on his iPhone, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was basically just like really crudely drawn stick figures of something going on. I don't even know.
Yeah, it's really hard to to make out.
And so what about his second submission?
The second one was not his. There's no way he took it. He said he took it on his iPod, and then I asked him to send me another picture of it or him with it, and he said he doesn't have a camera.
Well,
and
just,
it was a pumpkin carving.
Yeah, describe that a little more.
Of Eiffel Towering. Look it up on Urban Dictionary.
It's actually pretty good.
No, it's awesome, but he didn't do it.
All right. Well,
I want some people to actually, you know,
all right,
and,
Lucas,
and not it, only this, the thing is he demanded Gamer Grub.
Yeah, yeah.
He said, "Don't send me the prize you wanted to send me. Don't, hey Matt, why don't you? I know you don't have a job, but why don't you go spend $5 on Gamer Grub at Fry's Electronics and waste the gas to go over there and send it to me and pay for postage? Why don't you do that?"
Here, why don't you read the email? Do you have it up?
No, I don't.
All right, I've got it. Matt, okay, my last iPhone drawing of the Eiffel thing was a piece of shit. So I decided to show off my pulling carving skills and carved you and Alex, Eiffel Towering, Ash's mom, into a pumpkin.
Wait, you have to read all the typos because this kid can't spell either.
It's hard. Okay, so Ashes is like plural, not possessive, so like multiple Ashes. Into a pumpkin. My bad. Like I said, S-E-D, I love your podcast, and I hope this wins the prize. And if it does, I want you to send me a pouch of Gamer Grub and whatever else is the prize. Oh, so he did want what offering, but he just wanted Gamer Grub in addition.
And by the way, what I'm offering is Lord of the Rings Online Mines of Moria with free 30 days and a free t-shirt.
There you go. Keep up the podcast. I'm so sad that Laura hasn't been in the podcast. She always makes it even funnier. And you, letter U, Matt, are like the funniest person on earth. Your podcast is amazing, and I would be happy if you would read this on the podcast. Keep the podcast alive, and I will be happy. Peace from Lucas K. Smiley face.
Yeah, I would have read that if you would have put any effort into it. But I didn't even bother to open my browser and check my email for that to read it on the podcast.
Ouch.
So, Lucas, when you're not 12 years old anymore, maybe try some art. Maybe take an art class at your community college.
Here's his response to what you said. I don't have a camera, but my friend carved it with me. You can ask him if we carved it.
Oh, yeah, the classic, you can ask him.
Yeah, hey, Lucas's friend. Did he really carve this pumpkin?
Yes.
Or did he not? Get back to us.
Yes. And then we're going to go, okay, Lucas, we're sending you a lifetime supply of Gamer Grub.
Mm-hmm.
That reminds me, I've got to plug in a little plug for Gamer Grub. Just go eat it.
It's good.
Just do it. Just do it.
You know, Nike, just do it. Gamer Grub, just eat it.
Just puke it.
All right.
And yeah. But I seriously, anybody listening to this, email Gamer Grub, tell them we sent you. Tell them that's why you buy Gamer Grub now.
And then tell them to give us money.
Because of this podcast. We're supposed to have some kind of sponsorship thing, but I don't think that ever worked out.
Yeah, I wonder what happened to that. Like, Laura was in charge of it, but...
Well, Laura disappeared. No one's heard also, from her. We've had way less hits on our podcast now that Laura's not whoring it out everywhere.
No, I've noticed that. You know, and so, I think Laura makes it longer, too.
Yeah, we need Laura
She needs
back.
To get fucking internet.
Laura, come back to us.
Yeah.
Yeah,
come on.
What's up with that, Laura? Come on. Everybody has internet. Starving children in Africa.
Starving children in Africa don't have food, but they do have internet.
They do.
This is sad. This is just sad.
It's ridiculous.
This is just ridiculously sad.
So,
come back to us,
guys,
Laura.
Tell Gamer Grub to pay for your internet.
There you go.
Right now, the fan art contest is still going on. It's going on until I get a couple real entries. So, you know, you can draw whatever. Now the fan art contest, draw whatever.
Just draw
as long as it
involves
me and
sex.
Alex, you could draw whatever.
With
even
a woman.
Even if it doesn't.
Not
even
with
if
ourselves,
it's just video
with
game
a woman.
Characters.
It could be any woman.
If it's me and Alex making out on top of a NES controller.
You know what? You know
as
what
long
we should
very
do? We should
realistic.
Give them a template of ourselves Eiffel Towering, and they just fill in the face.
Oh my god. Okay. You guys are so hopeful of this.
No, we need
especially
fan
Alex.
That's what we need. And seriously, you could win fabulous prizes. I'll even draw a picture in response to your picture. I don't care. I just want some fan art. That's all I want in life.
Matt will send a picture of himself looking at your picture.
You know what? I will. I'll send a picture of myself looking at your picture. That would be great.
And it'll be sent by Matt.
All right.
Love Matt.
Love Matt.
And he'll send you a hair.
All right, Alex.
Yeah.
Alex. We're going to have Laura's sexy time, even though Laura's not here. So why don't you read that letter that you got?
This isn't a sexy time letter. This is just a...
Just give us some background on the situation.
Some girl, some undergrad in a lab, has been sending me some fucking long-ass emails.
Cup size.
It's probably like
cup size?
A. What's the smallest one you could think of? Negative 2? It's
wow, really?
Yeah, pretty
she's
much.
A surfboard?
She's like an ironing board.
Hopefully she doesn't listen to this.
Hopefully she doesn't know I'm doing podcasts for video games. Because that probably will ruin my...
Okay, so girl who's writing to Alex, if you're listening to this, come up to Alex.
Hopefully she's not one of the Americans listening to this fucking podcast.
You know, I always think that impresses girls when I'm like, yeah, I do a video game podcast.
I do a podcast. Then, about what? Cooking?
Video games.
Oh, yeah, when I say I do a podcast, most people not only know exactly what I'm talking about, but get really excited. You do a podcast?
Wow, you're so
cool. On the internet?
Is it on iTunes?
It is.
It is on iTunes. And you
has
can
it gotten
it
any
by
ratings?
Zelda Working Title Podcast. No, it hasn't. People need to rate us and write reviews.
Alex, do this in a girl's voice, or what do I do this in? Just
yes, in a
you
sexy
really
girl's voice.
You have to roll things to the other side of the building.
It's, no.
Is she British?
I think she's Chinese.
My piano teacher always told me that I should do a minor.
Okay, kill myself.
I actually started piano really late, age 8. And he started clarinet the same year, which isn't as late.
Wait, age 8, she must be Chinese because that's not starting piano really late for any other nationality.
Yeah, I think
that's
too late for the Chinese. Okay.
Yeah, like they're like Jedi's. Like if they don't start training them at 2,
well,
they just throw them out.
Right,
throw them
into the sweatshops instead.
Too old is she?
Wait, what's
too old is she
it's
for
more,
playing
it's more
piano?
About her music
right.
And
sorry.
Her music likes.
That's terrible.
I'm not actually bored right now, like I was the other day. I'm in a crappy mood because I was there late today doing stuff. Because my boss was trying to cut down the paper with 45,000 words, and we needed to get down to 39.
Okay, there's a lot more crap. You can keep on.
So
it's her life story. Anyway,
so I'm actually home right now, but I'm going to go back tomorrow instead, a Sunday morning, because I don't want to be home anymore.
Okay.
Call me Sunday if you want to come to lunch with me.
And then there's a phone number.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Is your apartment nice, too? I used to live in Marvin when I was little, which is down the street, and it was really a nice apartment.
Wait.
I don't know what my...
She's asking about
your apartment.
This is going to be... This is already a disaster.
Oh,
Alex.
And she's
money
18.
In the bag.
I have a feeling she doesn't
barely
know.
How...
I have a clue.
So, did she just send you this email... Just
I don't
because,
know.
Or was she asking
no,
for like help
she just
or
sent
something?
Me, I don't know why she sent me this shit.
Oh man, Alex.
No, you know what? I tried talking to her and she doesn't say much. So I don't know why she sends me like 5 paragraphs. This is like a 5 paragraph essay
because
right here.
This is the only way she can express her love.
Well, she
for
could
you,
take off her pants
email.
For me.
Well, Alex.
Too. I mean, that would be great.
Go to lunch on Sunday with her.
Well, email that back to her and see
type,
what the response is.
Alex,
see,
go
I'm
to lunch on Sunday
right now,
and
take
wear
off your pants for me, Alex. and I hit send.
I don't believe
you. You want me to CC it to you? God damn
yes.
it. Shit, I can't really do that. I don't want to break your hopes and dreams.
All right, Matt, what were you saying?
I was saying go to lunch with her and give us a full report next podcast.
Yeah, definitely.
Wait, what was it?
Only because we care about you. We want you to have a
with
nice, 18, healthy
with a girl that's like with 7 or 8 years younger than me.
Chinese.
Sure, why not? It's a girl. It's
my
better
left
than
hand.
You know your penis. Yeah.
It's better than my left hand, surely.
It's a step up.
Moving
in
on up to the west side. Or upset.
Are we, is that it?
Yeah, I think we're about done. Yeah, so get back to us, Alex.
Oh, and remember fan art. Send in fan art. You can find the details at our blog, zwtpodcast.blogspot.com.
Me and Matt Eiffel Towering a Chinese woman with no chest. That's fine, too.
Man.
Yeah.
Anyways, you can contact us by going to our website. You can use either tinyurl.com/workingtitle or ztpsocialboard.proboards.com. We've got email, wtpodcast@gmail.com. Our Twitter account is ZeldaWTPodcast. Our Facebook group is Zelda Working Title Podcast. And actually, we've had quite a few people join that, so that's pretty exciting.
Oh, yeah.
And then, of course, vote for us, review on iTunes. Reviews would be nice. So we know what we're doing, how we're doing, if you guys like it, what we should be doing differently, keep it the same.
Or just email us.
Yeah, just to say hi. We're lonely.
I want somebody
to
touch my cock. No.
Yeah, and if you want to friend request us on Facebook, Adam Grayson, just look up that one. Alex's son.
Ina.
And... Yeah, Alex.
Would you shut up! I'm gonna fucking kill you. I swear to God.
Very
I'm
Asian
kill you.
Name.
And then Matt Kimball. KIMBALL.
Matt Kimball. Yeah. Go. It's facebook.com/mullet MULITT.
Oh God! Did you put a username on your account?
Yeah.
Oh, that's terrible.
I'll probably ignore your friend request.
If you're a very attractive woman and you're single, I'll do something.
Then
you're
probably
not listening
to this podcast.
Oh, that's mean. Come on.
What?
And that didn't...
Come on.
Look, at least
I saw
didn't
the download.
Say,
I saw the download statistics.
You, Laura.
Oh.
Because it doesn't.
That's mean.
No, not because she's married.
She probably is. I wouldn't be surprised if she had five
kids.
Right.
So let's end this before it gets out of hand. Thank you, Alex. Thank you, Matt. You've been listening to episode 14 of Zelda Working Title Podcast. We will see you next time. Goodbye.
Good night. Bye.
Good night. Good luck.
Dark night.
Good ending. What do you want me to play?
I don't know. Why don't you play Mario or something?
Wait, let me try that again.